we're going to look at, we're going to continue. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series on the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to continue with that this morning. So just to start, I'm going to read Romans 12. In his grace, God has given us different gifts to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, we've been doing a lot of these over the last few weeks, and today we're going to look at the gift of leadership. And wherever we are, in whatever situation we're at, we will have leaders that will come up and spring up in all the different places that we're at, whether it's in work, whether in school, at uni, wherever you might be, leaders will spring up within that place that you're at. And I can remember being in, way back in primary school, sitting in my class in year four then, or whatever it would have been. Yeah, I think it was year four or year five, sitting on my table of friends. And I was the one, I might not have been the loudest of the group or the one who spoke the most. Don't look so surprised, Rob. I was a little bit more quiet then. But I was always the one where there was people around me and I would be able to get people to do what they had to do. And way back, even when I was in primary school, I can remember doing things like that. And then in secondary school, the same kind of thing happened. Again, might not have been the loudest of people, but I was able to get people to do things, what I wanted them to do or what was needed to be done. And also in uni, I can remember, we were all sitting in uni, we didn't really like going to lectures very much. And I can remember sitting down over lunch, we were all just chilling out, sitting on some sofas, we're like, oh man, we've got a lecture in 5 minutes. Do we really have to go? And we try and like work out ways and excuses of ways we didn't have to turn up to our lecture that day. And we would just sit, oh, I can't be bothered. And we'd all be slumped after our jack of potatoes that we would normally eat for lunchtime, just falling asleep. And then all of a sudden I just thought, right, we're going to have to go. So I just stood up and I was like, right, let's go. And everyone instantly just jumped to their feet. And we're like, oh, what happened there? We're like, we're going. And we all just went. And it was such a bizarre thing. Everyone was really shocked. We're like, why on earth did we jump up just because you told us to? That is ridiculous. So I knew then I had the power with them. So it was all good. But they're just a few things from when I was younger. But it says in Romans 12:8, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Now this gift comes with a warning. You've got to take the responsibility seriously. And in all others, it's all quite nice. If you have encouragement, encourage. If you can give, give generously. But this one, if you've got the gift of leadership, take it seriously. It comes with that warning, and it's serious. And there's consequences to having leadership gift as well. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Like, that is serious. If you have that gift of leadership, you have to give an account to God for the actions that you do as you're watching over people in whatever situation you're in. We have to give an account to God at the end of the day. Now, this is serious, man. I'm like, oh, okay. And this is such a vital gift for us as well. So we're going to look at how important it is. And because we're dealing with people, and we're dealing really within the church, the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is so important. The bride of Christ is the church. It's us here today. And we are important to God. He loves us. And using the symbol of marriage, of saying that we are his bride, is showing his commitment to us, his love for us. It says in Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he wants husbands to love their wives. And so again, it's just showing his commitment to us. And if that's his commitment, then as leaders, our commitment should be just as much to love the church as he loves the church as well. So it is a big responsibility. And we're going to look at all of this and look at what leadership is, what it does, and what we can learn from it as well. So that's going to look at some few things. So what is the gift of leadership? And firstly, a definition in dictionary.com, it says leadership is to go before or to show the way. So it's taking people along with you. It's taking them on that journey with you. And Bill Hybels says that leadership is the catalytic gift that energizes, directs, and empowers all the other gifts. Now, I quite like that. I'm going to read it again. Leadership is the catalytic gift that energizes, directs, and empowers all the other gifts. So you can see how important leadership is for us here as church. And, you know, we want the church to succeed. We want everyone in the church to have their gifts energized, to be released, to be empowered, to go out and do all the things that we have to do. And leaders have the ability to get people to do that, to be able to encourage people to go and use their gifts, for all of us together to be able to do it together. So you can see how important leadership is just for us here today as well, and how it's important for us as a church. And we're going to look at what it is that that leaders do. And I've missed a bit out. And Jesus tells us that for us as church, we are a team, and to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So together with our gifts and with our abilities, we can go out and be a team doing this. And this is what Jesus has for us to be able to do, that we can tell people just how much Jesus loves people. The fact that the Son of God came down, because to be honest, we're not perfect, are we? We all sin. We all do things wrong. We all make mistakes. And Jesus came down so that we could be saved. He lived a perfect life. And at the end of his life, he went to the cross to take the punishment that we deserved. He didn't deserve to die, but we did. And he went to the cross in our place and died and went to heaven, rose again. And how amazing that is, that we didn't have to go through that because Jesus did it for us. And all we've got to say is sorry and accept Jesus and say, do you know what? I'm going to follow you. I'm going to turn from what I've done wrong and do what you have for me. And that is the amazing thing that Jesus did for us. And that's what he wants us to communicate as church, as team together, with all our gifts, all our abilities to go and do this. So what is it, as a church and as leaders, that we do? Let me just turn the page. And the first thing that leaders do is they set vision. So we're all on a journey together. We all do it together. And leaders set a vision for us to be able to do things. So again, Jesus set that vision, go and make disciples of all nations. That was the vision he set for us. Let's all tell people about Jesus, what he has done for us, what he's about and who he is. And Ralph Lauren said, a leader has the vision and conviction that a dream can be achieved. He inspires the power and energy to get it done. Ralph Lauren, the famous clothes designer. It's all good. And we've also, in the Bible, we've got different leaders who we've seen who can do this. And one of them is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, when he heard that the walls had been torn down in Jerusalem, he was devastated. He was so upset. And he was working for the king at the time as a cupbearer. And he was looking down and he wasn't very happy. And the king was saying, what's wrong with you today? And Nehemiah knew, do you know, we could get this done. We could build those walls up. We're going to make this right. So he went to the king and said, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. And, you know, the amazing thing is, the king was like, yeah, okay, you can go and do that. God was with him, and he went off and he said, well, what else do you need? He said, do you need anything from me? And he was like, well, actually, could you inform people that I'm coming? Can you make sure, can you send letters so that I have all the equipment that I need? And the king said this, and the king was granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on him. And that is amazing that the king sent Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to be able to rebuild these walls. Nehemiah had a vision. And he had the bravery to go to his king and say, do you know what, I want to do this. And the vision helped him to do that. He was able to cast the vision to the king. And the king said, yeah, go, do it. I'm going to help provide you with everything you need. But not only that, when he got there, he managed to get the people of Judah in Jerusalem to actually build the walls with him. So he got all the people around. They all built their sections of the wall and up it went. He had the vision. He gave it to the people. And off they all together did. They built up those walls and it was restored. A vision, a leader with vision. He got it all done. And that is what leaders do. They have vision and they can take it forward. And it's practical, but it's also something that's spoken out. And we can see as church here, we have a vision together as well, don't we? We want to bring people to know Jesus. That, at the end of the day, is our vision. We want to make church accessible to everyone so that when people come in, they know that they're welcome, that they can access what we're about. It's happy, we're smiley, we're good, but also it leads them to Jesus. And that's what we're about. We're all about leading people to Jesus. So everything we do will hopefully bring them close to that place. And we're in a secular world now, aren't we? Where people don't know the Bible stories, people don't know who Jesus is. So we want to make it as easy as possible for people to find out about Jesus, what he's done for them, who he is, what he's about. So as church, we have a vision to see people saved, to see people know who Jesus is, for people to come in and think, oh, do you know what? I feel comfortable here. This is a really great place to be, and to make it easy for them to do that. And a few of us were in Portmead School doing an art project, and it involved doing a big mural on a wall where they could all tell stories outside. And we did it was a willow structure where they could go inside this willow structure and tell stories, but also we helped them to be able to do storytelling as well by themselves when we go. So we were there for the 3 days, and the first day, one of the guys who was from London, he came and he told them the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, what an amazing story. And you know, the kids, they sat there in silence. He must have told the story for over 20 minutes. Now, a group of kids aged like 8 sitting in silence for 20 minutes was just amazing. I was like taking photos all day. It was incredible. But they sat and they listened to this incredible story. And at the end of the 3 days, they're saying, oh, so what's your favourite story? Oh, Daniel in the lion's den was amazing. It was so good. When the lions just, they didn't open their mouths. And they were able to tell the story back. And they had never heard some of the stories that they told them over those 3 days. So to be able to go down and tell kids just across the road there all about Daniel. And we told them about Esther as well, and all the different things in the Bible. And for us as church to be able to do that and to let people know who Jesus is and about the Bible was amazing. So again, we have a vision. And when we look back in Acts as well, we've got when Paul and Barnabas, they've been going to the Gentiles, who are the non-Jews. They were telling them all about Jesus, and they were getting saved. And the big question came up to Paul, well, shouldn't they be getting circumcised then? So Paul's like, I haven't really thought about that one, to be honest. I don't know, I don't think so. So they got sent to the council in Jerusalem. So Paul and Barnabas went off to the council in Jerusalem, and they sat with them all, with all their elders and with all their apostles. And there they were in front of them all, explaining what's been happening. They'd been telling people about Jesus. People had been getting saved. But now the Jews are asking the question, well, if they know Jesus, well, shouldn't they be circumcised? What do we do? And then Peter and all the others sat, I think, probably for a little while. Well, what do we do? This is new to us. This is all new. And then Peter stood up and he said, you know, I was sent out to the Gentiles. You know what it was for me to be sent out and see people saved. I don't know if they do need to be circumcised. I don't know about that. And then James stood up, which is Jesus' brother, and said, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. That was way back, right at the beginning of the church. Let's not make it difficult. So from that point on, no, they didn't need to be circumcised. So good news for us, isn't it? Well, not me, but for you men out there, you don't need to be circumcised. So it's good. And just seeing how even then we're saying, let's not make it difficult. And for us, with our vision and our values here at Cornerstone, we don't want to make it difficult for people to come to know Jesus, do we? And again, this is a vision that we have that we can carry together as church and with our gifts and abilities to be able to do it. So again, I'm just going to go through some of the gifts that we've already taught on, and that's mercy, hospitality, healing, teaching, encouragement, serving, discernment, prophecy, speaking in tongues. And there's so many more gifts that are written, and there's so many more gifts that aren't even written in the Bible that we can turn to. And together with the vision, we can run with it and see people come to know Jesus. And with that, it leads on to the second thing, and that is alignment. I'm just going to skip them bits. And alignment, I can remember a few years ago, Sarah did a talk on alignment and she brought in a big chocolate cake and she said, wherever you cut this chocolate cake, it's chocolate cake through and through, there is chocolate. And that is the same with alignment. When we're aligned to the vision and we're all aligned together, that wherever we cut it, we're always the same. And that's what we want to create as well, that wherever we are cut as church, we can always see, we want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see people know him, and we want to do it well, we want to do it with excellence, and we want to do it with Jesus at the center. So when you see what we do, we want to make sure that what we do is aligned to our vision, and which is why everything we do has purpose. When we look at our Easter invitations and stuff, I think I have one here. We've got our Easter invitations. We hand these out to our friends and our family, say, come along and join us for Easter. And then they can have a look online. And when they go online, they will see the same picture again, saying, come on, come along and see us. On Easter, next Sunday, you'll see hot cross buns being eaten across the way. So you can see everything we do, although they're small things, it's all aligned to the same thing, to make it accessible, familiar, and easy for people to come and join us, to come and join us. Said, you know what? You are welcome. We want to make it easy for you. And everything is aligned. But it's all by having like website and invitations and all of that aligned. But as us as church together, because it's the church's people, isn't it? For us together to be aligned and say, you know what? That's what I want as well. I want people to know who Jesus is. I want them to know him. I want my friends to feel welcome here, to come and join us here. And that would be brilliant for us all, with our gifts and abilities, to align ourselves to this one thing, for people to know Jesus. And like Jesus said before he went, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. It always comes back to that. So alignment is an important thing that, again, that leaders can help to bring. And again, we're in it together. And we look at Jesus, when we look at his life, from the age of 12, Jesus aligned himself to his father's mission. And when him and his family went to Jerusalem and he got lost for 3 days. Could you imagine losing your 12-year-old for 3 days? I think I'd be well panicked by then, calling the police. It would all be on the news. It would be mad. But they went and they searched for him, and they just searched and searched and couldn't find him. And eventually they went back to the temple. And this is what Jesus had to say. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? That's age 12. He was aligned to what his father had for him. Everything he did was about his father's business. And as you see him as an adult, he aligned himself to seeing people come back to God. Everything he did had purpose. Everything he did was be so that people could come to know God again, to bring them back, to say, do you know what? God is here. He is for you and he loves you. His healings, his teachings, everything that he did was aligned to this one thing, to bring people back. So he aligned himself. And it's the same for us. We can align ourselves to the vision that God has for us, whether it's our own individual vision as well for our lives, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. You know, we have our own personal visions, but also within that, we have a vision and we can align ourselves as church together as well. And finally, it says as well that leaders are to watch over. And we go back to Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So again, leaders are people who watch out for other people as well. So when you're leading a team, or if you're in a team, you always know there's someone you can go to. There's someone who is watching out for you. And that is what leaders do. And again, going back to Jesus, our leader, he was someone who watched out, and he describes himself as the good shepherd. And it says here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hands run away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, just as my father knows me and I know the father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Jesus watches out over all of us. He is our leader, isn't he? And we want to follow him. And he's saying, do you know what? I'm watching out for you. I am there for you. I'm going to help you and guide you and lead you in a direction of safety, of protection, but also closer to God the Father, which is where we all want to be, into that deeper relationship with him. And, you know, he didn't always go up to the sheep, I don't think. And you don't often see shepherds do this, picking up the sheep and saying, oh, look at you, give me a cuddle, and cuddle them all the way through it and keeping them close. But actually, he guided them with strength, with a staff, and said, come on, we're going together. I'm going to lead you into a place of safety. And it said here, the sheep didn't know that there was a wolf. They were completely unaware the wolf was coming to attack them, but the shepherd does. And he was to watch over because he could see the wolves prowling. He knew when the sheep were in danger. Sheep, blissfully unaware, thankfully, running around, having a happy old time in the fields. Woo! It's all very nice. But no, he knew, and he knew when to take them into safety. And again, the leaders have an overview so that they know what is happening. They are able to look out for those wolves. They are able to see what is happening around and bring a protection, maybe not a cuddle, maybe not oh, come here, my love, come and stay safe. But actually, let's all do this together. Let's all go into that place of safety, into that direction, which is going to take us into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God. And let's bring people with us. Let's stay together, close, and do it together. And leaders have that overview and that watchful eye so that we can all be protected and we can all do the job together, that vision that Jesus set before us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, as we do that, he is there with us. Our shepherd, our leader, is there helping us with us as well. So just to finish, I want to look at just three things quickly, because it's nearly 12 o'clock, of what we can look at in Jesus' life, that whether we're a leader or not, that's something that we can put into our lives and say, do you know what, I can do that. It doesn't matter who we are, that when we look at Jesus, he is our role model, he is our leader, and we can say, do you know what, I'm going to put that into my life. And the first thing was Jesus was accountable. And leaders are accountable. They're accountable to each other. And like it said before, we're definitely accountable to God. We will bring an account at the end of life. If you're a leader, you will have that conversation with the Lord. What have you been doing? Woo-hoo. Can't wait for that one. And he says in John 5:19, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. He was completely accountable. If his dad didn't do it, he didn't do it. It was all about doing the same thing. He didn't go off on his own, do something off here in a little corner, doing his own little thing. I tell you what, everyone come in, we'll do this, but we'll just keep it to ourselves. No, it was all about being accountable. It was being open, about doing it together. And he was the same. He took his disciples along. He kept them all together. They all did their thing. They went off in the 72 when he sent them off in twos and threes. They went off and they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, go and cast out demons, heal the sick, and tell people that the kingdom of God is coming. They went off, they did that, they came back and said, this is what happened. This is what went on. We actually saw people healed. It was amazing. You could imagine the stories the 72 came back with. And Jesus was like, yeah, that's brilliant. They were accountable to Jesus. He knew what was going on. And the same for us. We can be accountable to each other, to leadership, to your small group leaders, whoever it is, be accountable. Then we've got as well, he was servant-hearted. And this is something that, to me, in leadership really stands out, and something of Jesus' life that really stands out. It's all about serving each other. And as leaders, it's about serving. It's about helping each other, of being the people who can raise up gifts and say, do you know what, you can do that. And helping out, if there's something to be done, then do it, to serve each other. And again, Jesus had so many different ways of showing that he was a servant. It was incredible, his life that he led. And the one that stood out the most, probably to his disciples, and I think if we were in that time as well, would really stand out to us, was on his last meal, on that last supper, when he got down on his hands and knees and he washed his disciples' feet. It was so, like, alien for this to happen, that Peter starts arguing, as he does, with Jesus, saying, "You're not washing my feet. Don't come near my feet. You're not going to get them." And he's like, "No, you don't understand. I've got to wash your feet." And he got down to do the worst, horrible, most demeaning job of that time, and got down and he washed those feet. And this is what he said afterwards. "Afterwards, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done.'" I mean, there it is. Do as I have done. We're here to serve. And that is what we're about. With any gifts or with anything that we've been given from God, whether it's encouragement, whether it's giving, whether it's mercy, whether it's leadership, whatever it might be that you've been given, we're here to serve. We're here to serve each other, to say, do you know what? We're in this together as team, as church, and we're going to serve. We're going to serve our community. We're going to get alongside and we're going to help. So with the things that are happening at the end of May, as the churches of In Hope come together and serve down in Blaenau Maes and serve in Penlan and in all these different places, that's an opportunity for us to say, do you know what? Here we are, we're going to serve you. Why? Because we love you, for no other reason, but we love you. And they can come along and they can see that we love and care for them. And as leaders, to look at what Jesus has done in being accountable and his servant-heartedness is incredible. He also had amazing compassion, his compassion for people. As he was feeding the 5,000, beforehand, he just saw that they were hungry and he said he felt compassion for them. So he, out of compassion, he managed to do this amazing miracle and feed everybody. But then at the same time, when he saw the Pharisees, he was like, I won't repeat what he said, I don't think, because he was quite like, come on, we're going to stand back there. I'm not having any religion. So although he was compassionate, he was strong, and he was looking to bring people back to God. So you can see with Jesus' life just how he was the leader, how he came with such meekness, but with such strength as well in everything that he did. And I just want to finish by reading Philippians 2:6-8, which is really just a description of the attitude that Jesus had. "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." I mean, what an attitude to have. And whether you have the gift of leadership or any other gift, but just for all of us to have this attitude and to come into life saying, do you know what, I'm going to give it all up and I'm going to just humble myself and serve. What an incredible thing to do. And to finish, I'm going to finish with the last little bit of this, where it says, "Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." How amazing. This man, this perfect man and God who came down, humbled himself to be among us. He gave up all the privileges of heaven to come and be with us, to serve us, to help us, to guide us, to give us vision, to help align us to what God has for our lives. He gave all of that up. And now we know he is up in heaven in that place of honor, watching over us, helping us with our lives. What an incredible person to look to and for us to follow. So shall we pray? Lord, I thank you that you give all of us gifts, that no one is left out. And I just thank you for the gift of leadership. I thank you that you have given us leaders that we can follow, that will watch over us, and that we can come under, Father. And I just pray that you will bless the leaders in our lives, Lord. And I just thank you for them. Amen.